This is Kent Clothier. If you are looking to improve your life, improve your business, and just get it all together, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Time Is Now podcast.
What's up, big man?
What is going on? Good to see you, brother.
You too, dude. The one and only Mr. Drew Cannoli. Glad you're here, brother.
It's an honor to be here.
No, man, I've actually been looking forward to this a lot. You know, we get the chance to catch up a few times in the year. We used to do a lot more than we do now, but this is a chance for us to catch up and just do it in front of an audience.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm excited, dude. How's life?
Life is good in the quarantine compound over here.
Yeah, I was about to say, what are you doing? I know you're working out to stay busy. What else are you doing to stay busy?
I've been doing some coaching calls here and there. I've been in the garden a lot. I just ordered a drum set in the garage, so I've been beating on the drums and, you know, taking out all of that entrepreneurial energy that we all have. So it's been fun.
Yeah, no, I love it, dude. I love it. I am joined by my very good friend here, Mr. Drew Cannoli, a guy that I've known, oh my God, dude, I guess it's probably been the better part of 10 years now, been in each other's lives. Both have witnessed each other's entrepreneurial journey. He's been extremely influential on my life. Watching him grow and watching him do what he's done and accomplish so much so fast. It's been fascinating and amazing to watch. I'm excited for him to share with you guys. Let's jump into it, brother. So for the last 10 days, I've had entrepreneurs from literally every walk of life, right? I mean, I've had health and fitness experts. I've had mental health experts, addiction experts, entrepreneurs that are in marketing and real estate, business in general. I've had, you know, you name it. I've had a lot of different people from a lot of different angles coming on here. And kind of the whole point of me doing this is to really give people some clear direction, not only from a mental standpoint, but from a tactical standpoint. I think it's important that people realize that, you know, nothing is permanent and that you can sit here and come out of this, you know, much, much better. So I'd like to kind of maybe go down that path a little bit with you. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So let's start, right? Let's backtrack a little bit. So in the context of kind of sharing your story a little bit, we'll get down and do some deep dives in the entrepreneurial stuff of it, but kind of take a few steps back and walk us down your story over the last 10 years and how you've gotten to this place where you are.
Yeah. So I think it even, if you'll allow me, I'll take it a little bit beyond that.
Happy to. Do your thing, brother.
I think, you know, we're all given internal guidance systems when we're born into this life. And I'm not going to go too woo-woo. But
I've got a running bet on how just, you know, I've got some people that have got the over under on how woo-woo this is going to get. We're about to find out.
But when I was born into this life experience, I suffered a lot of trauma and suffering. I was abused as a kid, tortured. If I couldn't tie my shoes fast enough, my own father would put cigarettes out on my forehead and, you know, taking a simple bath, he'd hold my head underneath the water. And I think what that did for me at that age is it created the suffering and the trauma coming into this experience, but it also gave me an internal guidance system to know that throughout my life, I wanted to help people that maybe had suffering similar to mine or were torturing themselves. And I found my life work and my life purpose in the aspect of health. I just wanted to help people with their health. I believe healthcare is self-care. I believe the more committed we are to ourselves, the bigger results we can create in business, hands down. And I've seen entrepreneurs like into yourself, as soon as they start investing in their personal bank account, their personal vibration, frequency, whatever you want to call it, night and day different business altogether. They're more influential, they're more confident, they're more connected to the people. So having that aspect at a really young age gave me the ability to see what I didn't want from that, but also guiding me down the path to, all right, I want to be an entrepreneur. Growing up in Michigan, my mom has been a janitor my whole life and my dad was a truck driver. So they didn't have the financial acumen or the language that entrepreneurs use. And I knew that was the contrast that I didn't want in my life. I wanted financial abundance. I wanted to be a free creator. I wanted no strings attached. I wanted to be able to travel the world and do all these things. So I set my life up like that. Every choice I made was a choice of, if I don't love this, why am I doing it? And that led me down the path of starting a credit and debt settlement company, successful, making 500 grand a year in my 20s, and then making, you know, seven figures plus. And then I was like, you know what? I don't really love this. I love helping people, but I didn't like the medium. What could I get behind and love and do for the rest of my life if I'm talking legacy, if I'm talking 10, 20 years committed to one thing? And that was health. And as I looked at them in the mirror, Kent, I saw myself and I was 40 pounds overweight. I was out of shape. I was lethargic. I didn't have a lot of passion for what I was doing. And I was living over in Tampa, Florida when you and I met the first time. And yeah. I was hanging around other entrepreneurs that would drink on the weekends and they would spend their time watching Netflix and all the things of the time that were available around then. And I was like, you know what? I'm different. I'm cut from a different cloth. I want to create something different. So I moved, not knowing anybody, out to San Diego, California, and I started a channel called Fit Life TV. And at the time, I was just making videos for the sake of making videos. I was reading a book a day. I was educating myself. I had a morning ritual that was rock solid. I was doing the consistent small things every single day to add up to the big results. And I was committed like no other. I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I laid my head down at 9, 10 o'clock and I was focused. So I had built that following, and in 90 days, I lost 40 pounds of weight and I built a community of around 300,000 people at the time, just from posting videos. And this was when the organic reach was booming. We're getting 16 million views on our website per month organically at the height of this thing, not paying for any traffic. So you know as well as I do, being an entrepreneur, being a marketer, at 16 million views, you could have a 0.00026 conversion rate and you're still making millions of dollars selling a $97 e-course and a $37 month membership website. Well, and that's exactly what we were doing. So got in the best shape of my life. And I was so thrilled because every day I would wake up and I'd see thousands of testimonials coming in from people all over the world that were changing their lives, that were healing themselves of different diverse situations that they were in, right? That were handling the trials and tribulations in their life. And it was adding to the energy and the momentum that I was creating in my life. So I had literally painted the picture 11 years ago. And that's when you and I ran into each other.
Yeah, well, I remember
you very, literally very well. Changed my life completely.
I remember very well, dude. I remember seeing the videos. I remember seeing you. And I was just like, dude, I got to call him. I got to figure out what he's doing. I remember it like it was yesterday. I mean, you flying out and us. In fact, Octavio was on here yesterday. We were talking about it. I mean, Octavio and I met and became the best friends because of you. I think we changed each other's lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but I was at a point in my business where I didn't know what to do. I was at a point in my business where the environment was starting to change. The organic algorithms were starting to drop out. So I wasn't getting as much traffic. And I put the message down on I wrote it on a piece of paper and I said, you know, I was at the time I'm praying to God and I'm like, you know, God, just give me one person that I can transform their life and they can get in the best shape of their life. And it's mutually rewarding on both aspects, both sides of the relationship. And that's exactly when you called me up and you're like, hey, I want you to come transform me and my family over here in Florida. And I was in San Diego at the time and literally spending the weekend with you changed my entire business model. For a year, I was doing the high-end coaching and helping other people like into you and Seema and the rest of the crew, and it completely transformed my life. Had I not had you as a client, Organifi probably wouldn't exist today. It's a timeline that opened up and gave me the financial resources to showcase the future of where we are and where we stand now. So dude, thank you for that.
No,
thanks to you, my friend.
I'll drink water with you. I'm assuming that's probably a smoothie or a green drink.
I got a little protein smoothie. So
I love that. I love that, dude. Yeah, no, I remember it very, very well. I remember sitting on that beach patio of that hotel, that Holiday Inn, whatever.
Having tacos.
Yeah, having tacos, mapping out, dude, this is what you should do, and us talking through it, and then watching you take that and run. Like I said, you transformed my life, that 90-day period where I obviously met Octavio and got in the best shape of my life. And if you remember, we went out there and started posting the videos together and making sure that the whole public proclamation, like Kent is going to transform.
Yes.
Remember all that?
Yes.
And that shit made it very real. There was no turning back once we started putting those videos out there.
Well, and the winning combination, I think, is you have so much drive, Kent. You have an unparalleled drive. So it wasn't hard for me to say, this is what you need to do. This is exactly the formula. And then as soon as you'd hit a wall, it was like, all right, I've been through this before. I could show you exactly what I did. And then you were so driven that you just started blowing through these walls. And you remember the before and after photo?
Oh yeah, bro. I remember
that. Yeah.
I remember it very, very well. And like you said, that's when a lot of those dominoes started going. And then, and now, I mean, so your FitLife TV, I remember for us talking about it a lot, that how well that was going, but talk about how that started to transform into what is now Organifi, which is a whole nother thing and a monster in and of itself. I mean, because you've taken a Facebook page and juicing vegetables, you've taken, you know, the FitLife TV YouTube channel, you've taken this community, which creates a lot of eyeballs, a lot of excitement, and creates a lot of income, but then you kind of moved, you repositioned a lot of that attention over onto Organifi, which, I mean, dude, I could not be more proud of you. Talk about that.
Thank you, brother. I think it's real. It's a lot easier and simple than what anybody makes it out. It's just, number one, it's starting with you. It's investing in yourself. It's doing your morning rituals. It's meditating every day. It's getting clear on any emotional energy that's draining you. And it's removing all those things so that you can focus on being the biggest, brightest version of yourself, which is what I did. And then it's taking that aspect of you, that version of your best self, and it's applying it to your employees. So every single person that enters your organization. And at the time, you know, when FitLife TV, at FitLife TV's height, we had like 8 employees. We had to let 3 of them go when the organic dropped. I was losing $50,000 a month. I lost like $500,000 in 9 months. We were going out of business, dude. Wow. And then I placed my first PO, 3,000 units for Organifi Green Juice. It was a Hail Mary. I was kicking a field goal. I'm like,
I remember this. I remember this so well because you were trying to get the money together to get it done. I remember that. Holy shit, I forgot about that.
And we were just getting beat down. Everything we'd try, every test, every sales, you know, headline, every website, every page, every membership site, we were going through 100 ideas a month trying to create enough financial money to actually support the company. And we were just failing. Every single time. Hundreds of failures. And then we kicked the Organifi field goal. And I remember it like it was yesterday. We're sitting, 2 weeks before that, we had sit around the table at Vitality Tap, this local juice bar. And we were going around looking at each other, talking about as if it was an immense gratitude and appreciation. We were just appreciating each other. We felt the energy shift because up until that, employees had left. They'd been let go of, you know, mindfully moved forward in their own life. And 2 weeks after that, we launched Organifi Green Juice. And I remember sitting in my booming office, this 800 square foot condo at the time, downtown San Diego. There's like 5 of us in my condo in a small team. And we had started there, you know, and we're working and Jamel's on his laptop and he looks up and he's like, we got our first sale. Like 2 hours into the first post, we got our first sale. And I was like, this is awesome. Right? We had sold our first Organifi green juice order. We were ecstatic. And then an hour after that, he's like, we sold $1,000 of Organifi green juice. I'm like, this is great. This is more than we were making every day up until that point. Like we just weren't making any money. And then at the end of the day, we had billed about $60,000 in sales.
Wow.
And we were like, we got a viable business model. At the end of that weekend, we had done 178 grand in sales. And we were like, all right, now we need to order 10,000 units because we were on pace to sell out in the next week. So we ordered another 10, and then we continued to sell out of Organifi Green Juice 5 times. And we got to a point where we had to place, you know, a purchase order for 100,000 units. And it was just flying. People were buying it so much because the time that we invested in them, educating them, teaching our community. And at the time, I think we had like 4 or 5 million followers. And we were just giving content weekly, not asking for anything in return, not really bombarding them with affiliate deals or anything like that, just investing in our people. And it was almost like we had built up so much goodwill to where they're like, all right, I'm going to, you know, this guy's been teaching me how to get healthy. They've been feeling better than they've ever felt. We're going to invest in this $67 bottle of green juice and see how it changes our lives. And so that was the thing, investing in our people. But first it takes you investing in you. A lot of people are of the hustle and grind mindset to where they're just messes. We all have entrepreneurial friends like that you meet up with and they've made no time for themselves, for their family. They're on the brink of divorce. They're 50 pounds overweight, out of shape, and they're just working. They're on the almighty grind. So pulling people out of that and investing in our people made the biggest difference. And it set us up to win because the first year we did about $7 million in sales.
Wow.
And just one SKU. Right?
Yeah, just green juice, right?
Now green juice. Now, we did about 1,000 split tests, different headlines and marketing things and everything else. Test this, test that, test images. So it was this rigorous thing of testing that we had created, which was a big thing. But also we added ashwagandha, which was the first time anybody's ever added Ayurvedic adaptogens to a superfood powder, which was incredible. And we also added other superfoods that nobody had done to the time. And we made it taste good because there was no other green juice that actually tastes as good as
right.
So we were super focused on
it. Yeah, most of them taste like grass.
Mm-hmm.
And yours actually tastes good.
So whatever product or service you're selling, it has to be better than everybody else's. Otherwise, it's not even worth doing it. I think there's so many people on Amazon that are trying to make a buck here and a buck there. But unless you have something that's different, unless you have something that you can really go to bed at night and feel like it's separated from the rest of the market. I know a lot of other entrepreneurs would disagree with me, but I'm in the mindset that it's
a lot of guys out there that will sit there and tell you, hey, you can market your way around a shitty product. But the reality is, what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
I mean,
you get one life, dude. And we're living this life right now that we know of, right?
Yeah.
And why not do something that changes people's lives and that you really love and that is part of who you are.
So how many products does Organifi offer now?
I mean,
how many?
12 products.
So now it started at one.
Yeah.
Well, now you guys are in what? What is that? Probably like a 30,000 square foot facility. What is that? 15,000? What is it over there?
Yeah, it's about 20,000.
20,000.
That we're not using right now because everybody's in lockdown.
Yeah. How many? You got a shit ton of employees now. I mean, you got a big booming business right now.
Yeah.
That started with your passion for changing somebody's life, which I think that if for everybody that's watching this, it doesn't always work this way. Let's just be very candid, right? Not everybody can sit down and just say, fuck it. I'm going to make YouTube videos and Facebook videos and just give with no take like you did. Like I watched you do this, right? And I mean, it was every day.
Literally. People thought I was silly. They're like, you need a call to action at the end of this. You need to start making money. They're like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah, well, man, I mean, and I'm not going to lie. There were plenty of times where I had that, you know, as the marketer in my mind, like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like, what the hell are you doing right now? Are you literally lighting a candle right now? Jesus Christ.
Got to smell good in here, Kent.
Do you need to do anything else? You need to get all the chakra. You need to get it all. You need to bang the gong.
Speaking of that, yeah, here we go. I'm cleaning your energy, Kent.
Okay. All right. Wow. My point being is that you had a lot of people that were looking at you like you were crazy, right?
I know
people were really voicing that to you, trying to figure out how you were going to actually bring this all together. And you really didn't have, Organifi was not even, not only was it not a product, it wasn't a company, it wasn't even a thought right now. This was all about just giving, right?
Yeah, it wasn't even on our mind. We were like, we knew, I think our intuition was telling us, if we help enough people and we just continue to give, then eventually the universe will reward you. And that's exactly what we were focused on.
And so you were out there basically educating people, selling, you said, I remember it was an ebook that put them into kind of a membership site, educating people on getting healthy, using, nutrition, et cetera. I mean, it just reminded me that.
Yeah, Juice with Drew was our first product.
Juice with Drew, and then you had the book. Well, I remember Cameron was actually on the front of it, which Cameron, God, remember that one where she's got the
book? Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just remember that, too. The bottom line is that you were out there just really pushing information, trying to help people to educate themselves on how to better themselves, and then it evolved. So your passion came first.
I wanted people to feel as good as I felt. That's it. I wanted more like-minded people to hang out with and experience life with, because I've been asleep and I've been walking around like a zombie. I think like most people are now, and it sucks. So basically infusing my body with all of these superfoods, these adaptogens, woke me up. And then I'm like, how many people can I have on the Organifi team that can become fully awake? And what kind of impact can they make in their lives and their family? And how many people can we help in the world with what we're creating? And that was my only focus, man. And that's why we just 2 years in a row have got voted the best place to work in the country by Forbes this year, Inc. last year, Inc. 500 4 years in a row. Like we've grown substantially, but it's all been from the premise of how much value can we give to another human being without thinking about the long-term financial gain or anything like that. I mean, obviously that's part of it, but it's not our huge focus.
Talk to me about some of the challenges that you faced along the way as the CEO and founder of this company and pushing it ahead, right? Because clearly you've gone through some growing pains, you know, you've had to learn some lessons. You got beat up like we all have, probably a little bit more when you're trying to take something to scale like you have.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about some of the lessons you've learned and some of the hits you've taken.
Yeah, I think partnerships you have to be really careful of. Number one, partnerships can blow your business up faster than anything. And when I say blow, I mean in two ways, right? A great partnership can bring you so many more clients. Like, we were the first superfood and supplement on ClickBank, the whole entire platform, which tacked on another $1 million a month onto our bottom line in the very beginning, right? And our partnership, even on Amazon, our partnership there, having Organifi there. So it was the big partnerships that really helped us grow faster than anything. And now it's more of like the tribe and who we're connected to and the people that are out on Instagram, the micro influencers, 30 to 50,000 followers that are telling their communities and tribes about it, especially now that there's a lot of service industry folks, a lot of trainers. So that's been one of the walls. In October, we got pleasantly asked to leave Facebook because some of the claims that we were making on the platform. So that would have put a lot of businesses out of business. Done. Like, that was probably the biggest challenge last year and continues to be even today. Because we were spending, even on Facebook ads, about $1 million a month plus on Facebook ads. So all of the clients that we were getting feeding the machine on the back end, you know, with the retention rate and the LTV, and you guys know all this stuff, kind of went out the window. So we diversified quickly. We invested in making higher quality videos for YouTube and different, you know, direct mail campaigns that we're working on, different affiliate relationships, hitting the podcast market. So diversifying traffic has always been one of the biggest challenges of our business, but it's also been a core focus. So working on the traffic and the infrastructure.
But you've kind of been in your own, you know, a lot of businesses right now are going through their own kind of own version of a little bit of a hell right here for the last few weeks.
Yeah,
but you started going through your own version of hell back in the fourth quarter when you have something that you're spending $1 million a month on in traffic and it evaporates overnight with where you literally, if Facebook says no, there is no rebuttal. It's just no.
You're just gone. Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it.
Talk about mentally, you know, I'm a CEO and I get hit with something like that. I'm gonna really kind of help people here. How you center yourself, how you gather yourself, how you communicate with your team, because there's zero doubt that when that hits you, that's an oh shit moment.
Yeah, it is. I think it's, you know, we can call the personality, the person you're observing, the Drew, you know, the Drew Canole show, as the vehicle that came here to express what it's like to be the Drew. And when I'm in the Drew mind, when I'm thinking about all the discord and the turbulence of Facebook, of course my stress goes through the roof, right? So what I have to do every single day consistently, especially when you have 100 employees and you're working every single day to make sure the company's profitable and you're positioning it, you're growing, is to remove you from you. And I know it sounds crazy.
I love it.
But it's almost to have, you meditate, so you get this, it's almost to be an observer of your life. So in the morning, when I wake up, 20 minutes, I'm in gratitude and I'm also removing myself from my mind. I'm witnessing myself. And in those moments, those takedown moments where you're like, oh shit, this business is going to hell in a handbasket, whatever it is, it's realizing that it's really just a game. It's all an illusion anyway. And when you get just 1 second of waking up in that moment and you realize how serious we take ourselves, how hard we are on ourselves, how much we are our worst critics, when you can really get to the place of observing you, immediately the fear, the trepidation, it just leaves your body. It's like, all right, this isn't that big of a deal. This is all going to be away. And then what I do is I timeline it out. So 1 year from now, we're probably going to have even more traffic coming to us from these different sources. 1 year from now, we're going to have affiliate relationships that are going to supersede what Facebook is sending to us now. 1 year from now, we're going to have this. 5 years from now, we're going to have this. So I'm literally I pull myself into the future and I feel what it feels like to be in the future, right? And I conjure up all of that energy, all that frequency, and then I start imprinting it on the people on the team, on the employees. I'm like, this is the best thing that ever could have happened to us. And they're looking at me, they're like, what the fuck? This guy's lost his mind, right? But if you just beat the drum over and over and over again, and you're committed and you realize it, you know it, 100% abracadabra, as I speak it, it is created, this is going to be so. This will literally be the day that changes all of our lives. We're going to remember this a year from now, and we're going to laugh because Facebook, you know, did this, or this coronavirus, this thing that's happening, was the best thing that ever could have happened to my business, because I was a retail company. I was a mom and pop shop. I had to learn direct response marketing. I had to really figure it out. And now I'm sitting in a place that's absolutely transformed not only my life, but all my employees. We are in the best position possible. And it's because of this trial that we went through that molded us, that really changed our lives. And that's been every single turning point in my business. When it gets hotter, we get moving quicker. We adapt, we evolve. And I think that's what separates the normal, you know, 98% of businesses that fail from the truly 1-2%. We'll figure it out. Even if somebody came in tomorrow and they're like, hey, Organifi, you know, no more of selling this stuff that makes people healthy and opens up people's pineal glands and does all this crazy stuff, you're done. I would be like, there's still a way to create, to help people, and we would figure it out. Right?
Dude, I fucking love that. I mean, because you're exactly right. It didn't happen to you, it happened for you.
It's all for you. Everything's for you.
You will be.
Even me getting abused as a kid was for me. It molded me. I was trained like a Navy SEAL, right? I'm thanking the man that did that to me. And what if that man was actually me as another human being showing me how to forgive my father, showing me how to let go of the past, showing me how to step into bigger shoes and really help other human beings? Everything happens for us.
I think it was Tony Robbins talked about how you have to appreciate everything, right? Not just the good stuff. You have to appreciate all the stuff because it's helped to shape you to put you in this place right now. Right? You wouldn't be Drew Cannoli if any of those things had not happened to you, period.
No. And when you are, you know, at the very bottom, or what the perceived bottom would look like, that's a great place to be. And once you're there, it's like, oh, I've been here before. And you know how to get out of there. So there are no retrograde steps. And you've heard the quote, once your consciousness expands to a certain level, it can never go back. So you just take what you already know and apply it to something else.
Right, right.
And it wisdom, happens this much faster.
Yeah, wisdom and experience, man. You can take a lot of things away, but once you have that wisdom, experience, and knowledge, man, that's the gift that keeps on giving, baby.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drew, you guys are, you're basically in retail all over the country right now still, right?
We're in about 2,500 stores.
2,500?
Still working on getting in Costco and Whole Foods, but we're in Vitamin Shoppe and we're in a lot of naturopath offices, a lot of doctors, a lot of specialty stores.
That's awesome.
It's been good.
That's awesome. And again, you guys, if you have not gone and tapped into Organifi, whether that's through Amazon or whatever means, gone to their site, then I would highly recommend you doing it. We've got it. I've literally got it in the office right here. So Drew, you're back up against the wall. You're talking about the getting hit in the fourth quarter, and you positioning that as this happened for us, not to us. We're going to come out better. You get the team energized. What, when you are dealing with your team, right? You know, you've had to grow from, like you said, 5 employees to hundreds of employees. What's the biggest difference that you've seen as a CEO and how you have to manage your day, manage the company, manage personnel? How important it is, you know, is it for you to have people around you that you trust that can kind of lead, you know, talk. Because a lot of people are trying, you know, a lot of people believe, quite frankly, hey, you know, they go through the transition. I'm a 1-man show. I go to a 5-man show. I go to 50. Those steps, you've had to make those steps really quickly, right?
I mean,
you move really fast through that. So talk about some of those lessons.
Yeah. So number one, I wanted to tell you this. I'm not the CEO currently. Jamel Bedahar is
our CEO. That's right. You're the founder. My apologies. You're right.
So founder. And I did it because, dude, I'm from Michigan. My dad's a truck driver. Mom's a janitor. There is much smarter people than me. I think what I bring to the party, though, is the dynamic energy. It's the catalyst. It's the torchbearer. It's the movement. And one of my gifts is feeling that energy in other people. So when I do go into the office and when it's opened up and we're not in this lockdown, I'll spend about 2 or 3 hours, 3 or 4 times a week. And I'll just really feel the energy out. You know, I see who has it, who has that internal desire to really give and impact other people in a way, in the context of the environment, so that those, what I would call torchbearers, or those people that are dynamic, that have similar energy to me, I'm making sure that they're lit up about the organization and they're spreading the culture to everybody else. Those are the people that I'm checking in with. I walk around and hug every single person in there. I'm talking about their family. I'm taking them out to lunch. You know, we're throwing axes. We're doing all the crazy fun boss stuff, which is what I love. And it also gives the company the most value at this point. So my job right now is literally to play. It's really to light up that 5-year-old kid and every single person that works at Organifi and have these moment by moment experiences where we can expand together. So that's my sole focus. And
yeah, you're driving culture more than you're driving anything else.
I'm just, culture's the thing. And it's investing in my employees. It's giving them books to read. It's sending them to seminars and emotional intelligence workshops. And then quarterbacking kind of the C-level team and checking in with them once or twice a week and making sure their energy and their thought, more or less their thought. Where's their mindset? What are they thinking? Are there any gaps in their thinking? And I'm giving them feedback. I'm letting them know where we get to grow. And I'm constantly looking of ways of attuning the employees that I have. And they're learning from me. They're absorbing what I'm teaching them so that they can impact the directors that work underneath them. And it's this harmonious environment of helping each other rise. And leadership is something we take really serious at Organifi. So we've had a book club ever since the beginning, 11 years. We've probably read over 1,000 books together, right? We have people travel in from all over the world for free to speak at Organifi. And we're just constantly giving. We have a whole biohacking facility at Organifi. We have infrared saunas and a gym and Juve walls, and everybody's into the crazy stuff that I have and that we get into together, you know, of healing themselves. We have a lot of people with autoimmune things and different things that they're working on and working through, and we heal together. So we've been saying we're in this together for 11 years. And it's so true. It's so true. I don't have an office at Organifi. It's not like a physical location that I actually go there and have a computer and a desk. I chose very carefully not to have that because I didn't want to be confined by a box. I wanted to be able to come and go and like insert myself into the matrix and then pull myself out of the matrix when I wanted to and just observe from the outside and then go in very gracefully and help people advance.
So you're basically acting as a mentor, a coach.
Exactly.
A cheerleader, somebody, you know, basically an advisor to the team, the people that need it, keeping the culture alive, keeping your team learning and growing. And I love that, brother. I love that because I totally agree with you. That's probably where you are best suited. I mean, that plays absolutely to your strengths.
100%. And Jamel, on the other hand, he's an aeroscience engineer. He gets the numbers. He is an Excel spreadsheet junkie. He probably sleeps like in a pile of Excel spreadsheets. That's how much he loves these things. And I just, my eyes glaze over when we start talking analytics and LTV and different target markets and all this stuff. I like it for a certain point, but I can't fill my day up with meetings like that.
Well, and you're smart enough to get the hell out of the way. I mean, I love that, right? That is the sign of a great leader, right? You put people in the right positions, you offset your weaknesses with other strengths. And I mean, you're basically the visionary while you've got integrators around you that are driving your vision.
And they're unbelievable. May, my COO, she's probably the best people person I've ever met in my life.
I would agree with this.
Remember May?
I know May very well, yeah.
Yeah, you know May. She lives close to you.
Yeah, she's worked right here in this office with me. Sometimes come right in here and hang out.
She's like the sun. She lights up every human that comes to her. Like, there's no way I would be where I am without the team that we have. They're all just such incredible souls that are on a mission to help people. And it's very rewarding to see the growth too and the transformation in every single person that we have on the team. It's wild.
So let's go down that path for a second.
Yeah.
Somebody that's starting out, that's trying to, you know, they're very passionate about their own business. How do you go and find and attract and ultimately hire talent? I mean, you've done a phenomenal job at it. It could have been by accident. It could have been by, you know, very intentionally. I mean, I'm sure it's more intentional now than it was back in the day, but kind of give somebody some guidance here. How would you go about doing that?
I think number one, you have to become voraciously enrolled in your own vision. And then number two, you have to use the language around it to compel people. Enthusiasm, right? Enthusiasm to move with God. So it's a spiritual thing for me. It quite literally, when I wake up in the morning, it's like, all right, who can I bless today? Who can I help today? And that's the mantra that I have running. Even if it's, you know, an older person in the grocery store, like, what can I do for them now? And the language, other, especially millennials, millennials are huge into movements. They're into helping people. Like, they would rather help people than make money. Right. And that's where I stood. I would rather go to bed at night knowing that I impacted 1,000 people's lives than all the money in the world. And when you come from that, it's a very real energetic thing. And so beating the drum of the vision, it's holding it so closely to your heart and letting people know that they're on a bus that does exactly that. And when things shift, when things get hard, when, you know, whatever you're going through, that vision still pulls people through it, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think that you know, another way of saying the same thing, I've made this comment before, that we're all looking for our tribe. And I know you know this better than anybody, that we're all looking for our place where we belong. But when you get as convicted as you are, and I know I am, but as convicted as you are about your mission, you will naturally attract people to you that believe in your vision and want to be around. And a lot of them are very, very talented. Equally, and the best part, because I know this has happened to you as well, I guarantee you, you've got people out there like, dude, Drew Cannoli has lost his fucking mind. He is so, and you're pushing, you're lit naturally repelling people that just weren't going, that were never going to be part of your business anyway.
Yes. That's the goal.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you can't, like, there's nothing wrong with that, but they're naturally going to leave you. And that's perfect because the right people will always find you.
I love that. I love that. But the only way that happens is you've got to put yourself out there, right?
You're going to know. I think the more still we become and the more we spend that time, that 20 minutes in the morning investing in ourselves, I can literally look at a name and I can tell my whole C-level team, they freak out when I do this. But you look at the name and it's like, all right, this is, I don't even need to know their experience. And I will literally tell you the experience of the person. Human beings are all antennas. I know my intuition tells me immediately whether or not this person's going to be a good fit for the company. They could go through 11 interviews and we have a freaking long interview process, culture screenings, this interview, that interview. And there's this deep knowing that we all came here with, but because we give away our, what we could call seniority, we give away our personal power in all these moments throughout the day. When we say things that we don't really mean, when we do things that we're not really in alignment with our highest self, we're giving away our power. But when we start to call our power back, this intuition starts to light up. And we know immediately what that person needs in front of us, or we know immediately how that employee is going to be on the team. So I've had dozens of experiences where you literally feel like they've already, you've been family with them for a long time. And it's this knowing, it's like, hey, you're going to be on this team. And, you know, and then 5 years later down the road, you're like, hey, this has been quite the adventure. You know, it's, but it takes calling your power back a lot, because I see people give away their power all the time.
I love that, dude. I love it. And no, it's not too woo-woo. I totally get it. I mean, in fact, you know, if you think about it, I think you and I went to Core Influence. You and I went to Core. I remember what it was, the current event, right? At the Hard Rock. I know we went together. I can't remember.
I remember that.
But the bottom line is that there was a lot of that talking about that. Like when you communicate from that your core influence, where you are basically, this is who I am. This is what I believe in. This is what I stand for. And when you have the ability to connect with somebody kind of at that level, that it's very real. In fact, you and I went to, I want to talk.
Was it Berman's thing?
No. But you and I had lunch with the guy, the ex-Navy SEAL. We went shooting with him that day. And he talked about this same thing, kind of that magnetic power drawing in. When you connect with somebody.
Yeah. Doug Brackman's thing where we shot sniper rifles.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And I was fascinated by how we are, you know, again, it makes a lot of sense that how we all have the ability to when you are completely dialed in on yourself, you have the ability to kind of connect with people at a level. And we've all had that experience. Hopefully everybody's had that experience.
100%.
You meet somebody like, that's my guy. That's my girl. I just know. I've known you for 5 minutes, but I just know. And then we've also had the alternative experience. We're like, yeah, I just know that this shit's never going down. You're bye.
Yeah. And then people hold, what I see people do too as entrepreneurs, is they hold on to people way too long. Where you think they're going to change, they're going to shift. And they've showed you the whole deck of cards multiple times, but you continue to hold on to them out of people pleasing or out of this scarcity mindset or out of there's not somebody going to be better than this. And already, like, you know that there's somebody 10,000 times better than that person. If you're getting those intuitive nudges than that person that's before you. So you got to be diligent with that.
So let's talk about kind of what's going on in the current business climate right now. I mean, what if you were giving somebody advice right now, regardless of what their business is in, and they're a little fearful, they're a little, you know, kind of, you get the drill. What advice would you be giving people right now?
So number one, I would figure out what I want to do for the rest of my life that's fun, that lights me up. Number two, I would figure out how to super learn, because I think a lot of people, they read all the books, they try to learn all the stuff, but they're not absorbing it. They're not holding on to it. So I would have them teaching right away. Whatever you learn today, teach it to your family, teach it to a community, post it online, start building a tribe about what you're excited about. And you can do that. Even though organic reach isn't as high, it's good practice for you. So whatever you're into, right? I would, number three, I would definitely say, find a mentor, find somebody, find a coach that can guide you through your financial situation. Like these things that you're doing are absolutely awesome because they're getting so much value
right
in this. They're learning, they're upgrading themselves. I would say, but that first point that I made is really understanding what lights you up like a Christmas tree, going within, deep within yourself. I think a lot of human beings are doing things to distract themselves right now.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that for a second. We got about 15 minutes. If somebody wants to go deep into themselves and really figure out what lights them up, what would be the steps you would tell somebody?
So number one, I always tell my employees, because they're constantly moving and shifting within the organization. But it's, if you go into the bookstore, call it Barnes and Noble, right? What section of the bookstore are you going to go into? What are you going to read? What do you read at night? There's a good chance that that probably lights you up. And then what do you want to do to make money doing that, right? Like if that was, you can envision into your future by doing that.
I love that.
That's exactly what I did. I was buying hundreds of health books. I didn't know how I was going to make money, but I was reading voraciously and I was teaching people as I was reading it. So I was planning it in my long-term subconscious mind.
That's, which is step number two, which I loved as well, which I think we just completely blew by, but I think that's really, really important what you said. And I don't want to get lost, is that as you're gaining knowledge, one of the easiest ways to put that into your subconscious is immediately start sharing it out there, because now you effectively, the student becomes the teacher kind of in real time.
Yeah, student becomes a teacher, teach about it and write about it. I've written 12 books. And anytime I'm learning something, I'm writing about it, I'm explaining it to other people, I'm getting excited, I'm shooting videos. So I'm reinforcing what I'm learning. And then eventually, to become an expert, you only need to read like 9 books. And you know more than 99% of the world. But people get hung up on analysis paralysis. They think they have to have all these certifications and degrees to actually help people. I wasn't even a personal trainer, and I wasn't even a nutritionist when you were my first client. I told you that.
I know.
Right?
I remember it very well. I mean, you actually told me that. I was like, well, you know what, dude? You're clearly doing something right. Look at you.
Yeah. So you have to, invest in yourself, learn something new, maybe. Not buy into the fear train. Stop watching the news. Turn it off. Maybe 20 minutes a day at the end of the day, or a time when you're high vibing after you've invested in yourself, after you've worked out, after you've moved your body, and then maybe do that. But this is a chance to start completely over. And we've never had this opportunity as society, as a community, as the collective. Think about what you could do to really help people and bless people in this moment, because e-commerce is changing. I think a lot of these businesses, what I find so fascinating, Kent, is a lot of the businesses that, you know, were kind of going after money before this, were just doing it for the money. Those are the businesses that are struggling.
Yeah.
But now we're shifting, our energy shifting as a consciousness, as a whole, as the planet, Pachamama, into a state of the more I give, right, the more I help people from a genuine place, the more your business is going to succeed. So all the businesses that were like that before this, they're still doing really well.
Right.
It's interesting. And just what I've observed in my small circle. Now, I don't know globally or anything like that, but, you know.
Well, this is a perfect example of it, right? I mean,
yeah,
we built a, you know, we have a community here that is all jumping in and trying to help each other because these are the kinds of businesses and these are the kind of communities that actually matter, right? And it may have taken a reset like this for people to realize the value, but it doesn't make it any less true. So Jorge is asking us, what was the biggest pivot in your business over the years? And at what point did things really change? I mean, it's kind of a lot of angles there, but go ahead. I'll let you answer.
Yeah. You got to be prepared for the pivots moment by moment. Every single day it could change, especially in the e-commerce landscape. You have one traffic source and then all of a sudden it's out. So we're constantly shifting. We're constantly pivoting. The core focus that we were working on though is as an intra environment, as an employee environment, we were constantly investing in our employees. So no matter what the pivot was, we started with the center first. So you got to start, if it's just you or if it's you and three other employees that you have to invest in those people so that they're able to pivot. It's the people that are pivoting for you. So the pivot. So that's the long answer short of it. I think there's been ups and downs with different traffic sources, with adding different affiliate channels. Obviously, in my highly regulated business, there's been a lot of scrutiny around claims. There's people that are ordering non-organic food, saying it's organic. There's people that aren't testing their stuff. They're making it in their bathtubs. I think the bigger you get, the more eyeballs are on you, of course. So pivoting into a state of having legal counsel full time, you know, pivoting into a state of understanding that just because it makes money, it may not be the best thing for you, you know, on a soul level. Because the last thing that you want is to wake up 10 years from now and be like, oh, I did all this to work my ass off and I didn't really love what I was doing. Like, that's a big pivot. So,
or even worse, you worked your ass off and somebody takes it away like this because you made some stupid, dumbass claim or whatever the case may be. Or
exactly.
Some other dipshit, you know, made a claim that takes a whole industry down. I mean, you and I have talked about this many times, because you saw it. I mean, I've told you it happened to me, right? Whether it can happen, you can lose something so fast. And so there's no point in putting yourself or your business at risk. Stay something you're passionate about, stay in your lane and do what you're there to do. Let me ask you this, because we've got some health and fitness people on here. There's a lot of, I mean, this right now, at this particular moment, there's a lot of people out there, trainers that are out there.
Yes.
Watching, I mean, a lot of noise, a lot of confusion, right? You're trying to set yourself apart and kind of build an audience and, quite frankly, help people. What are suggestions that you would have for the people that are trying to deal with all that noise right now?
Number one, the thing that I did is I gave away a juicer every week for 5 years. And in the beginning, I baited people. I bought juicers, just a $100 juicer, and I gave one away every week for like 5 years. Within doing this for 3 weeks, though, I had a juicer company reach out to me and they're like, hey, we see that you're giving away this juicer. We want to give you something to give to your audience. And my audience was abysmal at the time. It was really small. But because they saw the way that I was presenting, they saw the way of what I was doing, the videos that I was putting together, the workout videos I was doing, they're like, we're going to give you this to give to your community. So that was a way of enticing people to watch my stuff, leaving a comment on the videos and thousands of comments, and you choose somebody to give it away. At the time, organic reach was skyrocketing.
Right.
I think that's a big thing. So how can you be different than a lot of the trainers that are out there? How can you teach information? How can you specialize in a niche? I think there's a lot of airy-fairy information where people just focus on the same thing, the same workout, the at-home stuff, the quarantine workout. It's like, what's really different about that? Become a specialist of a smaller niche. There's riches and niches. For me, it was juicing. It was juicing vegetables. 11 years ago, nobody was talking about it. Jack LaLanne was the last person, and he had passed away like, you know, 20, 30 years before that. So I was reinvesting in the whole juicing game, helping people with that. So what's something that lights you up outside of just being a personal trainer, outside of just being a fitness professional, that you can add to your services, add to the education that you're putting out there to give even more?
I mean, and you know, I had Octavio on here yesterday, and he attached something he's extremely passionate about, right? He's a recovering addict. He would still call himself an addict today. Attaching that mission and that purpose and that cause around what he's doing, again, to your point, kind of has niched him out and attracted an audience that Now that's his way of standing out, right? That's his way of saying,
yeah,
we have a mission. We have a purpose. There's something more behind this.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
All right. So Chantel, do you market other products, e-commerce business, and what is your number one go-to stress reducer? Oh man, this could go.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if we want to go down that path.
We could get gongs and we could get candles and crystals and we could get all kinds of shit going right here.
That's a whole nother Zoom call.
Exactly.
It starts in the biohacking room. So stress reducer for me is that time in the morning. It's sitting out in my garden. It's listening to the birds, getting some sound healing in. It's beating on my chest and humming, right? Getting rid of the negative energy like our ancient Native American ancestors would do. And it's just getting real clear in the morning. So that would be the stress reliever. Number two, do I sell other people's products right now? Very rarely do we, because it just doesn't, I mean, we're so busy creating Organifi and what we're up to in the world that it's hard to promote other people's stuff, especially to our email list and everything else. We're open to it though. So if you do have a product that is high quality, that has, you know, if it's a superfood, has clinicals, all this other stuff, let me know. Get my information from Ken, or I don't know where this is going, but
yeah,
I'm open for the sake of being open always.
I love that. Ashley Randall says, hey Drew, I want to give away for the big crystal behind you. So
I'll give it to you, but you got to pay for shipping.
Yeah.
Shipping's $1,000.
How many different businesses did you do or have before you found your passion, and what was that aha moment that led you to it? So I know you did the credit repair, but talk about a little bit of the bumping around before you really got dialed in.
Yeah. So credit and debt, I did mortgages. I ran a mortgage company. I was a DJ for a while. I painted houses. I had like 12 college kids working for me in college, painting and power washing decks and all this other stuff. So I've done quite a bit. I think what really helped me, guys, is finding a mentor and a coach. So I've been blessed to have a lot of wise men in my life. People like Frank, I talked to this morning. We had a virtual, this guy's 87 and we had virtual lunch because he's over in Florida. So we're FaceTiming each other and we're eating lunch, him, me, and my girlfriend, Rebecca. And just the wisdom that he pours out and holding on to it and applying it. So I think that's really what changed the game for me. He's like, if you could do anything at all, make sure you're helping people for the rest of your life. And I'm like, what better way can I help people than to help them with their health? I believe we're in a health revolution. And I knew this was coming 11 years ago. I'm like, we're in this together. I'm looking at a child obesity 11 years ago. This is the first generation that children are expected to live less because of the what they're putting in their body, what they're eating, and the diseases and the ramifications that are actually caused by it. 11 years ago, I said, you know what? This is enough to light me up for the rest of my life. If I can just save one kid, period, my life would be worth living in a much bigger way. And then all these autoimmune disorders. And then, of course, you know, all these things that I help people with through the power of superfoods and immunity and nutrition. And now we have the freaking great, like the biggest epidemic ever, coronavirus, this quote unquote pandemic that we're in. And I think really it's a wake-up call for people to take their health seriously.
No doubt, brother. So, no doubt. I agree with you completely here.
And it'll only get more and more prevalent because we're stressed out. Human beings are stressed out.
Yeah, we're stressed out. We're under much more pressure. We're getting bombarded with information now like yeah. We never have before, right? So we have all this stimulus that in large part is usually negative.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, like you pointed out, I mean, part of the reason I went vegan was for that very reason. You and I have sat down and talked about this a lot, is that I didn't want to put, you know, I just didn't want to be a part of that system anymore, right? I mean, there's just so much shit that goes into food that you just have no control over. You have no idea what the fuck you're eating. I mean, and so, you know, and again, being vegan doesn't make that all go away, but it was my little way of saying, I just don't want to participate. And I get it. I mean, I completely understand why kids would be expected to live a shorter lifespan than their parents because of the way we have architected the food system right now. I mean, they're not even getting a choice in the matter, right? They're just being fed dog shit. It's horrible. All right. Two more questions for you and then we'll break here, brother. Drew, I'm on a similar path as you. I'm already an RN, have developed an 8-week program, but still feel like I need to finish my orthomolecular practitioner program to be legit before I really promote myself. What can I do to overcome this?
That's a big question. That's a loaded question.
Well, it is a big question, but the reality of it is that I you know, I'll answer it my way, then I'll let you go.
Yeah. Your way.
But from my standpoint, Cheryl, is at the end of the day, there's no finish line, right? You have value that you can offer to the world right now. You have wisdom you can offer to the world right now. Getting the next certification, the next license, the next X, Y, or Z. There's no big graduation ceremony that officially tells you I'm an expert and now I'm qualified to teach the world. Drew just talked about it, that when he came out, you know, when I called him in and he came out and we spent some time together, he wasn't a nutritionist. He wasn't a trainer. I just knew, you know, in my mind, I'm a big guy about modeling, right? And other, so I was like, the way I've always grown my business and the way I've always changed my life is I model other people, other businesses, other things. I see where they are and I want to get to that place. And so you're at a place in your life where you can offer value. It might just be an ebook. It might just be releasing that eight week program, whatever it may be, but you're never going to get to a place where you're like, whoo, I'm officially an expert now. Now I can go. It doesn't happen like that. You just got to go.
Yeah. I love that answer. And I think oftentimes as human beings, there's a switch that we have of, we always have to be packing on more identity to us. I'm this now. I have this. I have this house. I have this car. I have this, you know, relationship. I have this much money in my bank. I have this. I have, I have, I have, I have, I have. And that's never ending. That will never go away. But the minute you realize that that's just the illusion, you know, that then you can really start to live, because then you're living in the present moment. Otherwise, you're living for what I can be in the future, what I can have in the future. So I like to eliminate all that. And I just like to be happy now. I like to be so present filled that regardless of what happens, I know it's perfect. I know it's destiny. I know that money is coming. You know, the lion wakes up in the morning and he's not thinking about, is he going to get a gazelle or zebra? He just, by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he has it and the universe delivers. So I'm not stressed out about it. I do think what you said, Kent, really, really lands for a lot of people. I think that's a powerful place to come from. You can add value now. Totally. 100%.
Yeah, and I'll also share this with you. And I mean, I know, again, you and I've spent so much time together over the years that, by the way, you will also, Cheryl, you will have those self-doubts. You know, it's what's called the imposter syndrome. You will, and I guarantee Drew's dealt with it. I know I've dealt with it over the years where you get to this place every once in a while, you're like, oh man, holy shit, do I really know enough to be talking about what I'm talking about? I mean, that little voice still comes up every once in a while. You're never going to calm it completely, but as Drew kind of outlined, there are ways to calm it a lot, and there are ways to bring real value and not listen to that kind of voice in your head, because you can bring value today, literally today.
Right now. Challenger, Cheryl, you got to go do something today.
Yeah, Cheryl, we need to get you out there. We need to get you, in fact, Cheryl, put your program together and we'll talk about it right here in this group.
Let's go.
And we'll get people on board here. Raquel Quinette is, what is the most important habit you've built and sustained throughout your life? Ooh, good question.
Yeah, I think the biggest habit that I have is, this is going to sound really morbid, and every time I talk about this on stage or whoever I'm speaking to, it freaks a lot of people out. Is every day there's a point in my day where for 3 minutes, I'm thinking about nothing else other than my death.
We have this in common. I love it.
And I'm literally, you do this too?
I do this every day.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I talk about it on stage as well.
No, you don't.
Keep going.
And I'm thinking about my death and who's going to be there and the impact that I made and what value have I added to this planet on this rock while I'm here? And I'm just being in that. And it completely takes all of whatever I'm up against in the day. And it really puts it in that 3 minutes. And it can get really gnarly, you guys, because that self-reflection muscle is probably one of the most underused muscles we have as human beings. We love to be in complacency. And you talk about this on stage, dude. This is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I talk about the time is now all the time.
Yeah.
I mean,
wait. The airplane, you're on the airplane. There's smoke. I've heard this.
Yes. And so the way I talk about it is very similar to the way you talk about it, is that probably the greatest gift that I've ever been given is reminding myself that I am going to die and that I get a say in what's going to happen between now and then. And the way I reflect on it, exactly how you're talking about. And again, I literally have the same disclaimer before I talk about this with anybody. Like, this is going to sound morbid. I warn you. But the way I envision it is I'm at a point in my life, dude, where the older you get, more and more people pass, right? And so I've had some people pass away in my life. And I reflect on how many times I've gotten on an airplane because I thought so much, and the person that I went to go to their funeral, I thought so much of them, and they created, you know, so much value in my life that I literally had to go. I felt compelled to go and pay my respects to their family. And I sit there and I think about, you know, when I pass, if I pass tomorrow, who would get on an airplane? How many people have I touched?
I love that.
That they would literally get on an airplane and fly to make a point of walking up to my little girls and saying, your dad mattered, right? And every day I think about this to the point where I'm like, this is why I've got to go. This is why I got to give more. This is why, because I want to make sure that my little girls know that I mattered that much to somebody for them to press pause in their life and come and do that. And that's why I do it. I think about it every day.
I can't believe you just said that.
Dude,
it changes everything.
It changes everything. You will get, your gas will get in a hurry real quick to make the most out of every day. And to your point that you said earlier, which I thought was very powerful, when you gain that little bit of perspective, I promise you, any problem you're facing, it doesn't really, you're good.
It does not matter. Because the truth of the reality is you could be gone like this in a second.
Bro, I've been in that moment. Like, I've been on that airplane. I've been in that where they're heading down, and I've faced that very well, where like, oh shit, like this is it. And so you're exactly right, dude. It's it could all be going like this, and you don't want to be sitting in that moment thinking about what could have happened or should have happened. And so Cheryl, go. Get your ass in here. What do you got to lose? Go today.
Nothing to lose.
This has been amazing, brother. I cannot even tell you how much I've enjoyed this. I love having you here. I'm glad we got to catch up in front of everybody.
Yes.
You know how much I love you, and I would do anything for you. I appreciate you taking the time.
Love you too, dude.
All right, man. Be cool. We'll talk soon. Guys, let him hear you. Put thank you in the comments. He'll shout him out. Drew, I'll make sure you
get a comment. I'm going to look at all the comments too, so.
Yeah, so I'll make sure I get you in there so you can get engaged with everybody. Peace, brother.
Peace.
Hey, thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't gotten signed up yet with one of our award-winning products, I would invite you to go to reww.com. Check it out. Whether you're looking for advice on entrepreneurship, you're just looking for access to our Real Estate Investing Academy, whether you want to attend one of our upcoming live events, everything you need is right there. Plenty of videos, plenty of free training, plenty of access to software and tools that will help you to become a really successful real estate investor. Again, everything is right on the site at reww.com. You can also check us out at kempclothier.com.